Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, oh, yeah, welcome to this week's Snugcast. How are you getting on, lads? What's the crack?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking to the listener.
Breaking the fourth wall.
I'm doing well.
Do a bit of that saucer. How's it going, everybody out there in the podcast world? How are you getting on? It's been a quick week. Jesus Christ, really quick week. Back here in Grady's Yard again because we went for a game of squash again. This time, Tommy and Ollie joined us for the squash and the dinner.
Great debuts by the boys.
Strong showing all round. I commented to Tommy on the way over from Grady's Yard here. I was like, we're like the fucking Cool Runnings of Irish squash.
Battered rackets.
Yeah, it's a bit of a backhanded compliment, but yeah. the boys are okay. And they nearly died, but spoiler alert. It's me, DJ, here in Grady's Yard alongside Owen, as ever.
Hi.
And we're sitting across from, geez, mirror image last week, lads. Ollie Sharp and Tommy Coyrie.
How are you, lads? You know when you're like young and you're on the school bus and you're on a school tour, like, and everyone like heads off on the school tour, and then like there's absolute uproar on the way back if anybody changes seats. Yeah. Same seats on the way back.
Same seats.
Like roaring. Like.
No, nobody wants to sit next to Mossy.
That was
a nice throwback there to last week's episode where the boys were on top form, and we had a great chat last week, some really good feedback, and good strong week of downloads. People must have missed us over Christmas. Nothing better to listen to.
What'd you say? We got a spike in listenership.
Yeah. Imagine that. People actually listen to the podcast when they publish a new episode. Look, we had a good break over Christmas. We're back here again, and it's still January. And you're still dry.
I'm still dry. So what? We're on the 16th. I'm over halfway there.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah.
You're struggling.
I'm literally living on a prayer. I'm going to mass every morning.
Sure, we're saying. Rosary beads there.
Sure, didn't he start a decade before I hit record?
Who's a patron saint of being on the dry?
I don't know.
Tell you who is not. St. Brendan.
Oh.
Oh, that man, I'd say.
St. Brendan of Clonricket, was
it? Yeah. No, Kerry. St. Brendan was the first man for the beer, I'd say. Down in Kerry there back in the 5th or 6th century.
I'd say St. Patrick was as well, if the fucking his national day is anything
to go by. But I suppose at the same time, his national day would have been St. David's Day at the time, but Ni Welsh, like, so.
Yeah, but like.
Do the Welsh go on the beer?
Maybe every fucking 17th of March he went on the lash, like.
That's where it came from, like. It's not invented by Diageo to get people drinking Guinness.
No.
Historical facts, as ever, on the Stonecast.
Isn't the thing about why St. Paddy's Day is so big because there's an Irish cardinal or something like that? and he just fucking pushed it in the Vatican, like.
Sounds about right, though.
Well, I think this could be right, like.
Throw the marketing behind it.
Well, like, yeah, but like, as in,
he was definitely chief marketer for Guinness at the time, or something.
Well, like, definitely just kind of went like to the Pope, like, this is fucking serious, like, this, you know, this needs to be.
So I'm completely making this up, but this is how I reckon it goes, right? They were sitting in a bar in Vatican City. Well, known for its many bars, and
St. Peter's on the corner, St. Peter and Paul's,
and I reckon Cardinal Mossy was on the high stool with Pope Arthur, and I reckon the two of them were having a few pints, and Mossy was like, "Hey,
I say a bet went down."
Yeah,
I say fucking there was a right fucking like, you know, right.
If you don't say fuck at mass this Sunday, yeah. You have to give me a national holiday based on the beer. Yeah, that's definitely how it went.
Yeah,
that's the official line.
Yeah.
We've declared that as historical fact.
Send that on to Finn Dwyer.
Yeah, I'm actually meeting Finn Dwyer to record an episode on Saturday, so I might run by him off the mic, and then if he verifies it, we'll say it on mic again. If he doesn't, I'll just go with it.
There's no need to verify that. It's gold.
This gas actually became in here tonight after the old game of squash, competitive game. How the bodies after, lads?
All right.
Yeah, not so bad. All right. Yeah.
Sure,
yeah, okay
chap.
Now. Yeah.
I have a sore left arse cheek.
That's
did
not for
fall?
The squash.
No.
Did you fall?
No, I think it's a lunger. I don't know.
Something like that.
You were sliding well last week.
Yeah.
And good competitive round of squash. And we came here for a bit of grub, and we actually all had the same thing.
Same burger.
Same burger. Yeah. Citra marinated burger. Chicken burger. What do you make of it?
I really like the burger.
Yeah. Do you know what? Do you know these things like controversial opinion and someone tweets it and then like it turns out it's not controversial at all. Everyone has the same opinion. But you know when you go out to eat and it's a place that does a chicken burger that's not just this one homogenous breast of chicken and it's like small little bits cut up, marinated. I love that actually. I think that goes down well with me.
And what do you think
does
about
it?
What do you think of pulled chicken? Is that in that bracket, or is that a different thing?
Yeah. Then you have a butterfly cut then as well. You know, you split the breast in the middle and it kind of opens up. The way Nando's do it,
that's right, John.
You know, they do that well now. To be fair.
Do you get it, if you were going to Nando's now? Would you get it in a burger or would you get the?
Oh, the burger the whole time. I hate eating chicken on bones. Really, I'll be fucking.
I went to.
It's a
bit
of cartilage
there.
Yeah, cartilage.
Be afraid to get an extra bite of cartilage.
Yeah.
There was. I went to Roosters in Cork, which is kind of like basically Nando's
equivalent.
Light kind of yolk. Same. It's the exact same thing. Same premise and same order and measure and everything. But I got this peri peri chicken and halloumi wrap.
Oh.
Pita bread actually. Fucking unbelievable. Nicer than anything I've ever had in Nando's. Probably €1 cheaper because they're a knockoff.
Yeah. Knockoff Nando's.
Yeah.
Nando's is scandalously priced, isn't it?
It is,
yeah. This week's episode is sponsored by Nando's. And now over to our sponsor, is Nando's.
Scandalously well priced. but you were on about pulled chicken there. I think, Joe Pork is a kind of meat that, cooked in a certain way, it actually lends itself to being pulled.
Yeah, ham.
But I think chicken, as a meat, you want chicken to be nice and moist. And not pink now, but you know, you want your chicken to be cooked well.
Right.
Like anything pulled is technically overcooked if you think about it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
they're
and
often
I don't think
it. Aren't they
that's how they phrase it. Cooked for 24 hours in its own fucking piss, or whatever.
These fucking poor chickens.
They used to pay an extra fiver on top.
And they never saw sunlight.
Yeah. I'd rather just throw it in the microwave for 5 minutes.
take
250 off the price.
There's a fella in the UK. He's got this cookbook where you can cook. You cook it in a mug. It's for students or that. Like, but he was cooking a chicken breast in the microwave in a mug. You know, you throw everything in the mug, cheese and tomatoes. Throw it in the mug and fucking no one thing cooks. Looked all right, but I personally wouldn't.
You thought you tasted it.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be fucking drinking a cup of tea out of that mug without fucking Dettol in it anyway either. Chicken burger was good. And lads, just staying dry, you're on the water again tonight.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this much now, right?
Yeah.
Are you on Dry January, Tommy, or
no?
You're just driving tonight.
No, you went on Rip there.
On the Rip on Friday. Well, I had a few on Friday and Saturday.
So you're just responsible in the school night.
I'm just a classic binge drinker.
Yeah.
So, and I just have to drive tonight. That's
all.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And
anyway, you want to ask me something?
So there's 2 weeks left in January, right?
Yeah.
Do you reckon your first sip in February is going to be glorious, or will you have built it up too much in your head by then?
No, I think it will be glorious. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it now. I don't think I'll build it up. I think actually my taste buds will actually re-establish themselves over the course of the month. Because I think I deadened everything over Christmas. Like,
yeah.
My whole body just went shut down. Like,
soul as well.
Yeah, soul, everything. Mind, body, soul, the whole lot. It's gone. So I think, I'm looking forward to it now.
You'd be reinvigorated for the pints.
Yeah, I think, did we establish what day is the 1st of February?
Saturday.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking, hey. The mind you're St. Paddy's Day. St. Bridget's Day is the new day. We'll be fucking drinking out of St. Bridget's reeds.
Out of St. Bridget's boot.
Fill the boot for Carol up and get one big straw.
Right, Saturday. Jesus Christ.
Could be... I'll talk to you about it off mic.
Right, okay.
Shit's going down.
Right,
My shit's going down as Niamh's hen that weekend, so I'm completely free to go on the rants on St. Bridget's Day. Do a St. Bridget's Day special.
Will do, yeah. It's going okay.
Yeah.
Don't really think about it too much,
until the weekend when you have all to do.
No, you're drinking.
Because even going to the. I suppose the Munster match, like. It's on 1 p.m. on a Sunday.
But the other thing as well with rugby matches is you're allowed to drink in view of the pitch.
Yeah.
Whereas like you're not at Premiership matches, so
yeah,
it's even worse.
Where's the Munster match on? Tolman Park.
Yeah.
So you have a bit of a drive as well, you're going to drive, are you?
Yeah.
You're going to Raz.
That works. No, I'm going to drive. Well, you'll be driving back to Kilcullen.
No, I could drop you back.
Alright.
We'll just go 2 hours out with me, mate. Yeah. That's friendship there now.
That's alright.
That's nice.
Early match, like.
Alright.
Anyway, this is
totally off.
They're flagged off.
We flagged enough last week. We came in here tonight anyway, just so happened that Grady's are waiting on a delivery tomorrow, so they didn't have any alcohol for you here to have a glass of. Which probably actually isn't a bad thing when you're talking about reinvigorating your taste buds and all that.
Mm.
But in the same sense too, you made a point to me today at lunchtime when we were having our glorious Chabal that the price of alcohol-free beer is the same in most places than it is for an alcohol-containing beer.
Yeah.
And when you said it to me, it was like a penny dropped. I was like, fuck, actually... Yeah, why is that?
Yeah.
And he made an excellent point about...
So I was saying that, like, the fucking... Like, the reason points are the price they are is because of excise duty and alcohol fucking tax that's been put on top of them. So, and VAT and everything, right? But, like, why the fuck are they the same price then when there's no alcohol in these alcohol-free beers? Like, how can they get away with charging it? I don't know. I just think it's a complete disincentive to actually drink non-alcoholic beers when you're paying that much. Like, it's rip-like, do you know?
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. And it was someone was saying to me, I can't think of who it was. It could have been one of the lads, actually. Someone was saying to me during the week about... it was someone we work with was saying their boyfriend, when he drinks Heineken Zero, he gets a headache the next day from it. Similar to as if he had a hangover. And I was saying, well, maybe what's precipitating this, like, post-drinking a headache is something got to do with preservatives or something like that. And, like, we discussed at length on previous podcasts about, especially at the Kilkenny Beer Festival last August there with Gerald Costlow. You know, he spoke really well about the science around the temperature of beer served at being lowered over the years to dull the taste, but also the fact that... new recipes for a lot of macro breweries includes a lot of preservatives now, and that basically is not helping when it comes to toxins in the body either. So I wonder, in a sense, is it like basically Heineken Zero, maybe the same recipe or similar recipe, just fucking
full of fucking preservatives and
are they throwing a heap of sugar in at the end to eat up all the alcohol, or how are they figuring it out, like, you know? But
yeah, I don't know, they can't be that fucking healthy either, like, you know. I always feel shit after them as well, like, you know, I feel real bloated and stuff now.
Yeah,
I can feel bloated off beer as well, like, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, how did you feel, Tommy, after the Meisel Weiss last week? Like, the next day?
Yeah, I was grand after that. Like,
you didn't have the
one. Like,
yeah. You didn't have the beer farts the next day.
But, like you said, I had 0-0 last Friday night for the first time. And it was very similar. And the next morning, I wasn't hungover. I was tired anyway. I was just being groggy.
I thought something like that before.
But I suppose there is still
psychological association.
But like, is it 0.2 or 3% in a zero?
I think the zeros are
all right.
Heineken 0.0s are definitely nothing.
Peroni
has 0.02 or something.
Yeah. What was the one that was there for years?
Mikkeller is 0.03.
That's one that used to be there for years in the Erdinger. That's I think 0.2 or something like that.
And there's a Mikkeller one that's like 0.03, I think.
Yeah.
That's actually really nice, actually.
I think back in the day it was Ritz, remember? They were the first
one. Ritz.
That's a your flashy aunt drink if ever there was one.
I'm driving,
I'll have a Ritz, and if I'm not driving, I'll have a what's the pear one again?
West Coast Cooler, is it?
No. There was a stag on the cover of it.
Is that Copper?
No. Oh fuck it, it'll come to
Copper
me.
Copper or Copper?
No, Copper's as well.
It'll come to me.
West Coast Cooler used to be the fucking...
That was huge,
wasn't it?
Kind of Celtic Tigers.
It's made a comeback.
Has it?
It's made a comeback in Cork.
We said it
big time.
I think they were definitely in the fucking mid-noughties. It was fucking huge.
Oh, it was huge, like, yeah. It was huge. Someone works in the pub industry, what's your take on the 0% alcohol?
I think it's a great idea, honestly. I'd say
from a pricing point of view,
it's overpriced generally, but I mean, I suppose when supply meets demand, you're going to have to take advantage of that. So, like, we charge $4.50 for a bottle and then like a fiver for a pint of the Heineken 0.0. Now, come here, expensive. It is really, when you're not drinking, you should be
$4.50 for a bottle.
Yeah. You should be incentivized to drink 0.0s instead of fucking saying, well, for the same price, I can
get is that coming from the brewery? Is that coming from their set price? Is the price per barrel? I don't know.
I know the Heineken 0 barrels, they're 10 pints of them. They're these small little alien looking things, and I don't think they're particularly cheap to us. So maybe it is coming.
I wonder, and part of it is the fact that, like, if it is the fact that they're brewing it the same with a similar method, and then they're doing an additional step to take out the alcohol, they'll probably argue the point that, you know,
it's
they have to charge extra
to
because
it's
extra work. Now, if that is the case, that's life and business in a capitalist world.
Republicans taking advantage of people, like, you know.
But from that point of view, if I was a Republican, I suppose, if I was in a group and I was driving or not drinking or whatever, I'm probably not a big fan of having a soft drink or a water. I'm probably more likely to stay with my group in that bar. Or keep my group in the bar if it was a family situation, a husband and wife. If you're getting a cheap pint of 0.0, or even a free one, or every second one is free.
I agree with you.
I know a couple of years ago, the Agio or some company were doing, if you wave your car keys at the barman, you got a free Coke, something like that, which I thought was a good idea,
because I do, if I go out and I'm not drinking, I find, you know, so often if I'm not drinking, it's either because I'm sick or I'm tired or something.
I was going to say, it's not that often.
Yeah.
You don't know me. But like that, like, say for example, if I'm down in Cork going out with my family and I go, I'll have a Lucozade, like, and I get a Lucozade and a pint glass with some ice. And basically, I find, like, after the second Luke stage, you're fucked. Like, you know, your stomach can't handle more than two of them. It's too much sugar, like, too much sugar load. But in terms of like the actual excise, I have the excise duty figures here on alcohol beverages. I just pushed my glasses up my nose.
Matt's paper tree, as you coined it
before. We were calling it Matt's paper tree before. Like, once you graduate from school and you're 18, you went to Matt's paper tree, which is calculating the cost of a pint and what's the cheapest pint to drink. That's probably a separate podcast altogether.
Yeah, and you know what another question could be is, if you're going abroad, like, you know, what's the conversion rate of pints?
I like this actually.
There'll be a foreign snowcast from an establishment in Albufeira very soon.
Yeah,
probably will. Probably be a few of them. we've recorded in Liverpool, like, in a price of beers different. We actually touched on it on the difference from the UK and Ireland last week a bit. But it's that kind of story where it's like, whenever you come back to your old fella after being somewhere, and how much was the pint?
Yeah.
It's almost like the barometer of the cost of living somewhere, which, like, actually I'd say is not a true barometer whatsoever.
No, not at all. Yeah. Like, especially because, like, things even say, like, us in Japan there, pints were, like, way more expensive, but then, like, eating out and, like a lot of other things were, like, much cheaper, like, you know, so, like, you can't just be like, Jesus Christ, a pint of 6.50 over there.
I was going home.
I couldn't live there,
But then, even at that, like, you go to Belgium where, like, you might get a pint for €6, but everything's fucking 10%, so you end up drinking
a pint of wine, like,
But then the thing is, like, you might go out on a Saturday night in Ireland, and a typical Irish person might drink 7 or 8 Irish pints if they're gone. Out on a Saturday night. Yeah. Out, like, 7 or 8 pints. You might go out in Belgium and drink 4 pints over the course of the night. Yeah. And you know, that's the way it balances out, and it probably is cheaper in the long run.
Yeah.
But find out soon.
Yeah. But I was telling you a story there earlier. I when I was 15 in Bulgaria, my aunt's husband asked me, did I want to. I won't say any names. We might get him on in Albufeira to verify the story. But he asked me, did I want a sup of his pint in Bulgaria once? The extended family's kind of holiday. I was like, oh, it doesn't look great. And he was like, it's not. It's like fucking fairy liquid. But I said, if you sent a pint, you can't complain.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but like, as Tommy was saying, like, we can fucking pay double it, like, 140 or something, and probably get a fantastic pint.
Get a pint of Amstel or something for 140. Give me that 70 cent stuff.
No, because you can drink fucking 40 of them over the weekend. Yeah. 20. Like.
Probably get fucking IBS out of it or something like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Do you know what? There's 0% excise duty up to 1.2% of beer.
What's that?
0% excise duty on beer up to 1.2%.
All right, okay.
So
that includes alcohol-free beers.
Yeah.
0 to 1.2%
has no excise duty on it. So if you're in a place like Wicklow Wolf had a 1% there out during the summer.
Yeah.
A coffee stout.
Yeah.
A kind of cold served coffee stout, and that was one. So there would be 0 excise duty on that.
Yeah, just Hand Solo or whatever.
That's 1.2, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, and then like it's from 1.2% to 2.8%. It's €11.27 per hectoliter, so per 100 liters.
Yeah.
So if a pint is roughly, now it's not exactly half a liter. Actually, the excise duty on a pint isn't that much.
Right.
When it's and up to 2.8%, but then 2.8%. A greater 2.8% is 22.55 per hectoliter. Hectoliter. I can't fucking speak.
I think it's a hectoliter.
Oh, it's a hectoliter of the amount of alcohol. There is a good bit of excess duty on all of it, apart from the free ones. I suppose if something is 5%, then actually you are paying a good bit of excess duty on that.
Yeah, I don't know. You're probably paying, 55, 60 cents, are you, on your... And then VAT. So, you know...
It's fair, though. Generally, a couple of euro. Aren't fucking too expensive unless you go to Central Ireland and you're paying £7 for a pint of Guinness.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're generally reasonable around the 5.
If you're outside Dublin and Cork now, I suppose, to an extent, you can get pints for less than 5 or,
It's not that bad. I mean, it's not bad, really.
Anywhere where you can get a few pints back for an off, like,
yeah,
you can laugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure, it's like going out for a couple of pints with Nia's father, and if anyone comes in and they ask for 2 pints in the local pub, and they get out a tenner and go looking for more, your man will just take the tenner and say, I'm not in fucking Dublin anymore, man. Come back with some change from be delighted.
Fuck yeah.
You got unleashed for €50, you might stay out the whole weekend.
Buy a drink for everyone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, don't diss it. Madly enough though, cider and perry have like fucking 3 times roughly the excise duty of beer.
Cider and
perry. Pear cider.
Right, sorry.
They have about 3 times excise duty. It's fucking mad for wine. The difference between still wine and sparkling wine is like extortionate. So like if you have a still wine or that's greater than 15% alcohol, it's €616.45 per hectolitre of alcohol. And a sparkling wine is 800, and if it's greater than 5.5%, so pretty much all of them, 849.68 per hectolitre. So like if you had a 5.5% sparkling wine and a 5.5% beer, you're talking about like a 40 times the excise duty.
Yeah.
It's a bit expensive.
But then they're giving like smaller volumes, yeah, isn't it? But charging this, like, that's why they're like, yeah, smaller volume, same price, like, isn't it? Kinda.
But that being said, then in an off license though, if you're buying a larger bottle of it,
yeah,
you're paying 40 times the excise duty.
Oh yeah. Scandalous.
It just make you think like all this fucking money going to the tax man.
But anyway, you were
Where's our bus route to Tremors, so Tommy can leave the car there and go binge drinking.
But even like just to fucking bring it back to like, you know, trying to incentivize people to not fucking drink and like, you know, have these alcohol free beers. Like, you know, we're ending up now paying sugar tax on fizzy drinks, right? But what I get is, where's the other side of this tax? Where, like, that tax is just going into a fucking huge government fund of just the budget or whatever, like,
yeah,
an overall term, like. Because could it not be, like, an incentive on the other end of that where they go, right, here's the money from the fucking sugar tax that goes to, you know, fucking alcohol-free beers or, you know, take the money off another place.
But
like, you know,
the flip side, what I'd say to you there is, right, so I actually have the sugar tax figures as well, just in case it came up, because I would have brought it up otherwise. But right, yeah, absolutely. So anything that's between 5 grams and 8 grams of sugar per 100 mil is €16.26 excise duty per hectolitre. And then greater than 8 grams is €24.39. So basically, if you have an alcohol-free beer, is 0 excise duty. And if you go to 1.2 to 2.8%, a low alcohol beer, it's like still half what a can of Coke could be in terms of the excise duty that you're taking in.
Okay, yeah. So
but then a can of Coke is fucking half the price of.
Yeah, it could be like two quid in a bar or whatever.
£2.50 to $3.
No, really, it's cans. Small glass bottles.
Yeah.
They're £2.70.
Yeah, but still, like, why isn't the beer?
There's
that
a huge disparity. There's a huge disparity.
You know, I don't really see the point in having an alcohol-free beer for £4.50 when just it's disincentivizing people to fucking drink one.
But
and they're trying to disincentivize like the sugar in fucking, you know, people having cokes and stuff. But then like you're nearly forced in a bar to either have.
But the big,
the too overpriced.
Yeah.
I suppose if a beer, if a non-alcoholic beer was £3.50, you'd definitely choose that over a
Coke. That's my point exactly.
Or even like €4, you're kind of pushing it. But like, but £3.50 definitely would be a far more.
But
like,
can I flip this on and say again? You said something about like reallocating the tax and stuff like that, right? If they're charging this kind of like tax levels on sugar, why then is say we went for a game of squash tonight in a school facility, right, that basically has taken 2 years to repair from Storm Ophelia, and Squash Ireland are giving them some funding now. But how come like none of these, they're like, where are the municipal facilities for exercising then to offset like fucking the harm that sugar consumption does? Or where is like, how come there's like such poor access to health services for people who are suffering like because of alcohol toxicity and stuff? Like, I'm not an accountant, but it wouldn't be that difficult to look at the VAT receipts for the government on what's coming from alcohol excise duty and sugar excise duty, and actually say, right, well, we've actually taken this money from sugar tax So this will be like ring fenced around fucking municipal exercise facilities, making like better facilities available, so like people who go out and fucking work all day can actually go and fucking exercise, play a bit of our squash, like.
Yeah, I think.
Where's our squash rackets, like?
I think initially,
two more.
The first time I ever saw a sugar tax in place was when I was on the J1 and we went to. No, sorry. I think it was actually a fast food tax, and it was I was in San Fran for just on a road trip up to there, and we fucking got Domino's or some shit there anyway, and. Saw on the end of the fucking thing, like fast food tax, right? Now, in the same trip, I went into one of these fucking, I don't know, one of these fruit and veg shops over there, but our huge supermarket over there, and I was buying an apple, and the apple was $2, right? And I was just like, hold on now, like, I've literally paid about $2 in tax here on this fast food, like, and yet there is definitely no, like, I understand how, it, like, transport costs and all that shit in America, you know, they're transporting these things further distances and blah, blah, so it might cost more or whatever, but, like, it seemed completely, like, I'd say it was nearly fucking cheaper for me to get the pizza, like, you know, with all the deals and everything, like, than to buy, like, 3 apples, do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't see... I always think of these things with tax, like, where it's just like, why does this not conform to, like, where's the healthy alternative? Where's this money being put, like?
If a single apple is representative of, say, a portion of fruit, you're talking about a tenner to get your 5 a day. You're talking about spending 70 quid a week on fruit just for one individual to get their 5 portions of fruit a day as recommended by the FDA, like, do you know, the World Health Organization. It's fucking mad.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Tommy, on the fucking... due to, like, the reapportioning of tax and all that shit, like...
Yeah, I'd like... There's no link in terms of, if you think of road tax, and you're driving into fucking potholes...
Yeah. Like, and it all depends on how good your local TD is, as opposed to...
Exactly, It's fucking Johnny up the road, who's going to fix the pothole. But I think on the whole sugar tax, I think that the UK are going in the right direction with that. Driven the skies.
All I'm thinking of is that gif of your man in the Michael Collins film, like, to this thing. What are the Tans doing with their tax?
Jamie Oliver was working with the Department of Health over there in terms of their sugar tax was linked to it was being reapportioned to schools, so rather than getting your school years ago, they got rid of the school dinners to get fucking chips and fucking nuggets. All that show.
That was Jamie Oliver did a big yoga.
Yeah, it was him that actually kind of pushed that on. But now it's about that they get a bowl of porridge in the morning.
Free of charge.
That they get. So I think it's something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why can't our useless pricks, the happy pairs, do something like that?
Maybe get the legal team for it. Yeah.
Flag.
But enough about. I was going to say the name that we get there.
No, if you think about it, just in basic terms, like, that gets reapportioned to schools to give a free bowl of porridge or whatever, or a lump of food, which means that kid's not going to go hungry at lunchtime and go down and buy a packet of beanies and whatever.
But the other thing as well is, like, I went to... We'll see if they have any in a minute. I went to primary school in, like, a working class, lower social demographic area in Cork City, and I can remember at the time, like, at small break, but you'd be given, like, a white bread sandwich. Now, in the early 90s, they thought this was proper was genuinely beneficial nutrition. It's better than, like, there was definitely lads that I went to school with that probably would have had nothing, only for it.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, I'd be like, jam sandwich. Or
jam sandwich, they were great.
There we go.
The ham sandwich. So, like, they could do it then.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they can't do a healthy alternative now. I think they do in some schools, but...
We have a period of time, I'd say when we were maybe in, like, first class or senior infants or something, where, like, we got free carton of milk.
There's definitely milk food dudes in primary school now, where they come in, they have, like... They offer you, like, when they give you, like, say, a range or whatever, from cabbage or whatever they have, and you get, like, a stamp, and you collect all these stamps for weeks and weeks, and they give you, like, little prizes to, like, say, get you to eat veg and stuff. So yeah. that's one thing.
But I think like
it is working.
Yeah. We used to get a carton of milk up to first class, I think, and then in second class you had to pay for milk.
Because you watch your work
then. You have to save up your communion money. Pay for your milk after your communion.
You owe us £4 for milk.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think like there's so many like, oh, like fucking in a modern society, 2020, and like Ireland made a 1.4 billion surplus in its tax intakes compared to what it anticipated last year, and they spent that entire 1.4 billion paying off interest on the national debt, which it has to be paid, but at the same time when you've got like real proper social issues and you've got like an exponential rise in social issues coming down the line because of like childhood obesity and fucking lack of proper nutrition, and you've got fucking a poor relationship with drugs and alcohol and poor access to fucking resources. There's no reason why the government can't actually have a bit of cop on and reallocate a lot of this tax to where it's needed, because all those fucking areas are underfunded. It's probably enough of the serious talk.
It's so funny because you put out a tweet and you're on there today and like, had enough of the general election.
Yeah, they mentioned the general election once.
Listen to this
podcast.
That's fucking ratting rage.
Well,
I hate Leo.
Clap your hands. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. As you know by now, we'll say you'll probably hear a word from our sponsors, but my brother who does the made-up sponsors is kind of giving up on it, so you won't. And we'll be back after this with some chats about crisps. Right, pint glasses are full, the bladders that needed to be empty are emptied. And we have a medley of crisps around the table. They're all Co's, are they?
Yeah.
We've got some chorizo and cherry tomato. We've got the flame grilled steak. What's that one, Tommy?
Sweet chili and red pepper.
Oh, I've had that one now.
And the shamrock one.
Shamrock sour cream and...
Yeah.
Sour cream and shamrocks.
What do we reckon are the best one, lads?
Chorizo for me.
Chorizo for you?
I think sweet chili.
Just give me a minute there.
Steak ones, they're all good to be fair.
Oh, and taste buds are still in recovery.
I say chorizo. Maybe those, I don't know. That fucked around,
I think it depends on your mood, but if you're hungover, it'd be the flame grilled steak all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, chorizo or chili for me. There's a lot to be said for now, shamrock sour cream kind of York, but not with the pints, I don't think.
No.
Anyways,
I'd like to apologise for this segment of the show because you can probably just hear fucking munching a crisp.
Yeah. And if you hadn't heard me for the last half an hour, I only realised after we stopped, my microphone was tucked in on the inside of my shirt. And
hope I am.
I did try and warn you.
You did, but I had no idea what you were making faces at me for. That's just the level of professionalism that comes with recording a podcast in the pub.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk, actually, we won't talk about crisps this week.
Yeah.
But instead you've come up with a topic on the cuff.
So, it leads on from our last conversation there, right? But, what did you spend your communion money on?
Oh! That's very good. That's very, very good. Right. So, I presume we made our communion the same year, 1996, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we were the last year to make our communion in first class.
Yeah, first class, yeah.
And then the next year, it moved to second class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah. Historical.
Yeah, I mean, and look how we all turned out. I'm a fucking agnostic atheist.
Mm.
So, it worked in my favour. But, communion money, right? Mm. So, did you do the thing, was it the same in Waterford, where, like, you made your communion in the mass, and then you went around to, like, all your family and your parents' mates and stuff, then dressed up and you had to talk to like your Aunt Mary for 20 minutes and she gave you a fiver.
Yeah.
Well, we had a big session in the house on.
Yeah.
After, like, everyone came up to my parents' house. Yeah, I said it was a bit fun around the place. Fucking got the communion.
That was before the sugar tax as well, so you were loaded up on Fanta.
No, stop. I was playing fucking football out the back, running around. Knee slides in the fucking cream pants.
In the good pants, good chinos that were bought.
On my communion day, Actually, yeah, we went to a place that shut down since called the Sunset Ridge for a meal. And I was in my communion clothes, and we all went out the back. There was a fountain, but it was like all like bushes and stuff and marble on this. And there's like a fountain in the middle. And you used to have a game of hide and seek with your cousins out the back. And first game of hide and seek, I know me, one of my cousins was on. I went running off anyway to find a place. Bird shot me. So I got shot on my communion day. But
actually, I'll tell you a funny story as well about my communion there. So up until I made my first communion, I always called my father Liam. So it was like Mam and Liam
already
were my parents, right?
And if you knew Liam though, you'd understand why.
Oh yeah, he's
not from a strictness point of view, but from a just he's just a pure Liam.
Yeah, pure Liam. So yeah, I suppose I even like I remember like 1 year I don't know, was it for Christmas or something? Like, what age would it have been? Six, seven, making the communion, was it? Seven, maybe, was it?
Yeah,
you would have been maybe six, because you were June, and it would have been May.
It's not your seventh year.
No, I was five, going into six.
Really?
Yeah, I started school like a year younger, because I was probably a box of jobs.
Yeah, taking off, kind of it. But anyway, yeah, so say we're all six, right? But,
yeah, you would have just turned six.
Yeah, but I remember, like, maybe it was like maybe Christmas of when I was five or whatever. Like I wrote like on the Christmas card to my parents, like to Liam and Mam.
Like, sounds like our boyfriend.
Yeah. Maybe it was. But anyway, so then going to the fucking communion, Mam was like, "You better call your father, Dad."
Oh, he kicked the shit out of me. I get the wooden spoon out.
The fucking holy show was everyone on the day. Like,
oh, stop.
And then he was dad after that. Like, yeah. He just started calling dad after that. Then.
Do you reckon?
That's so random.
I know, yeah.
Why were you calling him Liam?
I don't know. Like,
at four, Liam, will you ever fuck him?
I don't know. It's probably that thing, you know, and then. Maybe he probably wanted to be called it, like in secret, maybe like it was all him, like it was my mom who didn't want like me to be calling him Liam, like
he was too like the way or calling.
Yeah, yeah. You know when you're a baby and like you know your parents go like ma ma mama mama dads they're like Leo.
Swinging it like one, two, Leo. Oh, brilliant. So I got shot on my community and then went around to all the family and friends and whatever. Earned a few pounds. But at the time, right, I had a Sega Mega Drive and I had like Sonic the Hedgehog, Street Fighter 2, FIFA 94. Yeah, I had FIFA 94 and a couple of games like that, Tetris maybe or something like that. Now, like, at that age, I wasn't really playing them that much because, like, Mam and Dad were like, you can't be fucking, like, go out and fucking run around the field, you're a child. But,
go pull on the bull's nose.
Yeah. Go and slap him in the arse and see how you get on. But I got enough communion money together to buy the newly released PlayStation 1. And I got PlayStation 1 with FIFA 96. PlayStation 1, FIFA 96, and I think I might have got V Rally 1, some rally game as well, because like Dad was big into car motorsport as well, and like Dad basically made me get the rally game so he could play it. And my dad isn't big on video games at all. Like, I'd say he's never played a game since V Rally 1, but I absolutely love the memories of like sitting with Dad on like the 12-inch, like really small, shitty TV and like fucking playing V Rally, driving around like the different rally tracks in the Subaru Impreza. It was classic, like, yeah. That was really good. But that literally took all of my money. And if it didn't, my mum told me it took all of my money. She pocketed the rest. PlayStation 1 was like for the time as well. Like, Sega Mega Drive was really good and like it was really good interface and stuff for the time, but PlayStation 1 brought it to a different level.
Yeah, kind of like more 3D, didn't it? Like,
Remember, like, FIFA 96 was the first time that the players weren't like Lego units, like.
Yeah.
But then FIFA 94.
It wasn't air, like everything before that was aerial. Like yeah, it was like yeah. looking down on.
But even with that as well, FIFA 94 had an indoor part to it. It did, yeah. And you could play like as like I used to love playing as international teams. Like Ian Rush was with Wales, and I was a Liverpool fan, and I loved Ian Rush. And you like you had an indoor where the ball like FIFA 20 I think has something similar now, where it's like street football. Or like there was a FIFA Street, but that was like the OG. Like there was a basically an indoor like fucking school hall where like you'd have like international teams playing against her, like fucking Oliver Bierhoff up against Ian Rush up against fucking Franz Beckenbauer.
I remember as well, like for that there was no fouls.
Yeah,
like, you just absolutely fucking letter.
Same people. Thing in the new FIFA. You can turn off all rules, and it's just like play Harry. You'd be running through on goal. You just come across two leg tackles. Absolutely, just come on half.
I want to make 2 points on that before we move on to the boys on their community money. First one is, do you know when you were a young lad and you'd sign someone just because of their name?
Yeah.
I used to always sign in FIFA on all the FIFAs until you retired. Stefan Effenberg.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, quality name. Quality, he was before your time. Stefan Effenberg. And the second thing was, this was football 2002.
Oh, yeah.
Martin O'Neill was on the cover, I think it was. But this was football 2002 when the PlayStation 2 came out. You could dive in it. And you start off as a school team, and you could get promoted up through these non leagues that they'd made up. Get into league or the fourth division as it was back then or whatever it was, and eventually you won and win the FA Cup Moore Cup from like a school team, and you had to like upgrade your pitch and everything. It was unbelievable.
So it was like, all the young lads had dive.
Yeah, but you could dive as well, and like you'd have to be good at the diving for the ref to give you the pen or whatever.
Yeah, otherwise you'd be poked or whatever.
Myself and my mate at the time, Johnny, used to just play this, and like all we do is play each other and try and get penos.
Yeah.
Try and get penos for diving. It was unbelievable. Like L2 I think was the dive, and like I would absolutely fucking love for FIFA to bring back the dive.
Yeah.
It's part of the game, lads.
Absolutely scandalous though. Like you fucking, they get killed. Like, over.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripe with VAR. It's eradicated.
VAR in FIFA.
No, but no. I don't know how they would. Because it's all.
Sure, they'll have some aspect.
They'll have an extra, probably.
Like if they can bring a safety car into Formula One, they can bring VAR in.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, like VAR has ruined the art of diving for a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diving's
sort of
bollocks though, I don't like it at all.
Oh, it is like, but at the same time too. But
the art of it.
The Argentinians love an old
they
bit
do.
Of cheating.
Like. As far as he diving, and he wouldn't think, like, no, like, I'm just, he's the example.
But they don't see it as cheating, they see it as a means to win.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's just like, that is mind-boggling. I mean, you're cheating.
But that was what I spent my community money on at PlayStation 1.
Right, so my answer is the exact same. I bought a PlayStation 1, and I bought, with that, I bought Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, quality.
One, which is one of the fucking hardest games of all time. Like, it is
unbelievably hard.
Fucking insane. There's all those missions, lights out, where literally just the whole thing just goes dark. Like, you're trying to navigate your way through it, and just all the lights just turn out. You're trying to still have to fucking jump over a pit.
Yeah.
And it's completely blacked out. Like.
That and Spyro the Dragon.
Spyro, yeah.
The original Spyro, yeah.
But, funnily enough, my second game that I bought was Destruction Derby. Right?
Oh my god.
Another car based game, right? And again, my dad, who's never played a game since,
there
was
Liam
was mad into Destruction Derby. I actually have a
Creamy Leamy. Hey, we're leaving that in.
I'm really messy. And
shove your flag up your hole.
But I actually have a vivid memory of him where, like, I was like fucking five or maybe six or seven, like, and like coming like downstairs in the middle of the night, like, down there at 4 a.m. Yeah. Like, trying to beat the fucking last level of Destruction Derby. Like,
get back to bed, you pup. Do you remember in one of the Grand Theft Autos they had a stadium that you could go to and do Destruction Derby in it as well?
Oh yeah.
That was quality, they should bring that back.
I thought that was Vice City or something, was it? Or, I don't know.
Vice City, Liberty City, one of them. No, I don't think it was Vice City, it could have been GTA 3 actually, or it could have been San Andreas maybe. San Andreas I bet actually.
Yeah.
They all blend into one, all that 10 years of Grand Theft Auto.
San Andreas went all out. That was classic.
Cycling, going to the gym, getting fat because you ate a load of Taco Bell. That was unbelievable.
Right, Tommy, what do you get?
I kind of pitched mine against the wall.
Well, you went on the rad.
If you heard a blender there, lads, sorry about that. But we have a recording late in the pub, so they have to do their jobs. It's either a blender or a Hoover or someone's dead.
Combination of
the clean up a murder scene.
Anyway, Tommy, you were saying you pissed your communion money against the wall.
Yeah, I pissed it against the wall. So so obviously the way that. So as I was saying there.
Before you were rudely interrupted.
I think obviously that the communion would be in April, May. So I think for Christmas I got a PlayStation and I got maybe one or two games.
Yeah.
And then my birthday was in February. But I built up an addiction to those fucking football
cards
stickers.
The Merlin Premier League stickers.
That kind of built up from like Christmas onwards. I started getting deep into those. So all my family gave me them as presents for my birthday. And then it was hitting peak, like that the season was obviously over in May.
Oh, you need to fill it up then.
I obviously had like a good few. I only needed a few, like, you know. So I said, I'm gonna fucking. So I bought
you needed a good lump packets, like
of my money into fucking stickers.
The worst thing is those stickers were redundant like a week later.
Yeah, that's the thing. They were redundant on about 10 fucking shearers. Fucking.
You couldn't even trade them.
Yeah, couldn't even trade them. Like, no wanted him. Like. Pissed mine against the wall.
Actually, that was some system back in the day. That really taught you like bartering.
Two, three normals.
I'll give you the Premier League trophy if you give me the Premier League symbol and Tony Eboa and Lucas Radebe. I'm short Radebe, kid. I'll fill this page out if you give me Radebe, and then you'd fucking. Alright, so I'll give you. Alright. Premier League trophy and Tony Adams.
Then you can literally name every player and every team. The match today,
But it had a little box underneath where the sticker went as well, with like their number of appearances and goals.
Yeah.
So you'd like.
You knew what was going on.
Yeah. Steve McManaman has played 127 games and scored 34 goals. Yeah.
From the time of Ryan Print.
At the time of
last season.
Yeah. Ollie, how'd you go?
So I made mine in 2005, I'm fairly certain.
Junior cert, was it?
Junior cert.
He's only a chap.
So funnily enough, Francis was going to America. And
who's Francis?
Francis
That we work with.
So obviously I've known Francis since I was born, basically. She knows more about me than I probably know about myself. I handed Francis
dangerous.
200 quid and she came back with a PSP.
The total.
It came out like, I think it was like maybe January or February of that year, and it was the shit. Like, it genuinely was the best thing that had ever come out. And I had a PlayStation 2 at this stage, because it came out like a few years ago.
PlayStation 2 was 2002.
Yeah.
Because that's what I bought with my confirmation money.
So I had, let's say, that for whatever, a year or two, about Christmas on season. And I had FIFA like 03 or 04. But anyway,
who was on the cover? I'll tell you who it was.
It was Ronaldinho and maybe Edgar Davins was on it.
2004. 2003 was before. Ronaldinho was still at PSG in 2003. 2003 was Thierry Henry. 2000 was Dennis Bergkamp.
No, 2000 was Sol Campbell.
No, that was the one. Anyways, we did.
On the PSP, got FIFA 06, which was like Rooney and.
Like your name was Bergkamp.
Rooney and like I think it was Ronaldinho. Rooney and Ronaldinho in 2005 or 2006, around And some other game, and it was just like you get on the bus, we went to on a school trip or whatever it was, and you're sitting in the back, and the lads have got two PSPs, and you're like trying to work out how you fucking play with each other on this game and play FIFA Street and shit, and it was just like.
That reminds me.
Because Francis bought in America, it only came with an American plug.
Yeah.
So Dad was like, Dad fucking trawled through Argos for like 2 weeks looking for the right charger for this thing, and eventually came home and like
Yeah.
Show, and he was like, I found this for your son. Oh my god, this is amazing.
That reminds me. Did you, were you into the handheld Game Boy Color?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And the connector then, so that you could battle each other with Pokemon and stuff.
Yeah, like trade Pokemon.
Red
or blue.
Red,
is this
blue.
The flip different one or just the normal one?
No, the normal one. Yeah. Oh, the flip one is...
Flip one is...
Game Boy Color SD.
The flip one is Pokemon, no? Pokemon Silver.
No,
that's Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a Game Boy Color SD, I think it was.
No, but we were talking about the original Game Boy Color now. Because I got a limited edition. I got a limited edition Pikachu one.
I got that as well, yeah. Yellow one.
I still have my one at home. I still play it sometimes. I can't believe I'm saying this on a podcast. I actually put it on Instagram before. I play my limited edition yellow Pokemon Game Boy when I'm doing a long poo. So I bring it into the bog with me. Down on the jacks. Yeah. So when the seat's going to be warm and your legs are going to be dead and you know what's happening. Like, yeah. We've all been there, like, let's be honest about it. The elbows will be on the knees. So, like, the legs are going to go dead, so you know you're there for a good 20 minutes anyway. So just try and Pikachu up a bit.
And then you fucking try to stand up then. You fucking
oh, yeah, yeah. No, you have to take the elbows off then and just keep playing until you feel it. Wiggle your toes until you feel it.
Yeah,
back. And Dave's like, are you still alive? Yeah, that was class.
Yeah.
I used to love bringing the old Game Boy Color to school because I've like 138 of the 150 Pokemon. I need to trade someone.
Actually, I have another quick topic there, right? What can you name anything in your school that was banned? Like from.
I went to fucking a Catholic, underprivileged, working class fucking primary school, everything was banned.
So I can name one thing that I just remember was Tamagotchis.
Oh yeah.
So I remember, like, after a while, like, remember they used to fucking beep when, like, they were dying or whatever, like, you know, or hungry or whatever, and like and there was no way of, like, turning them off.
You just had to hit the reset.
Yeah. And like there'd be like or like all this shit in the back, like, and I remember teachers be freaking out, like, what the
who brought one of them fucking things?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were banned.
Yeah.
And then,
actually, do you know what we're banned in ours? Actually, you're right. Do you know them alien eggs were like,
oh,
it was,
yeah.
And then it spawned into like a.
Well, yeah, is that because they burst into like ink or something?
But as well, like, I think like the like there was health and safety concerns about all that stuff.
Choking and shit, was it toxic?
Yeah. Them yolks were banned in our school because everyone would bring them in and fucking leave them on the desk and desk could be ruined.
Hogs, I think, were
banned, were they?
Eggs. No, how did you used to play with it? Like, maybe like, well, you'd have your
did you not have
stacked,
to, yeah, you have to, like,
you could bounce the metal one off
or flick them or something. There was some fucking boisterity about
that thing, and,
yeah,
and it just ended up in fist fights because you'd be like,
every single time
he'd hit you and you'd hit him. And
We had match attacks banned in 4th class or 5th class because, see, all the junior infants or senior infants used to come in and obviously they'd be like, oh, I need all the fucking, I need loads of packs now to have the best thing for my class. And like, they'd all come in with these, they started, they brought out folders, they'd put all your cards into. So like, they come in with these full folders, and so say like yourself, Tommy, you're here, and say, oh, like, what do you have there? And then your man would leave his thing down and he'd start looking through them, and then Darren would come along and say, oh, come over here now, Owen has this special rare thing going on, and he'd leave the folder there. And the two lads end up in there fucking taking out all the like proper unbelievable cards and basically cause an absolute uproar.
Do you ever notice with match attacks or the Premier League stickers back in the day and stuff, there was always some shy fella for Barnsley that no one had.
Yeah.
Do you know, it was never like, right, everyone would have fucking, you know,
they feel like Liverpool,
everyone would have Robbie Fowler and everyone would have Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or David Beckham, but nobody would have like fucking some fella from Barnsley that no one ever heard about.
Yeah.
Did you ever have Conkers?
Yeah.
We were banned for us. Like,
I think they were banned. It was very hard to ban them. Like, they used to be just like in a
so
pocket.
Easy
and just like, wait, we'll have a game. And you're fucking just starting rattling the knuckles off.
Did you have the thing where like people would be like, ah, well, I had mine in the hot press there for like the last six months, like, and it's toasty and ready to go. Or some people used to like
boil mine.
Exactly. Yeah. I
have mine in the hot press.
Yeah, mine in the shed with fucking like wood lacquer all over. Yeah. People used to have the fucking maddest. And then like, I have a special lace my father got from work.
So yeah, but lads,
all this bollocks
handed out from his father. It's
total bullshit.
Lads,
but you believe it, that is. You're like, that's no wonder he's lads, winning everything. Like,
lads in our class used to fucking, when the teacher turned around and started writing on the board, and this is like before whiteboards, even when you're in primary school, like, and the fucking teacher wouldn't hear it because the chalk would be baiting off the board, like, so it'd be all this noise. Next thing, some fella would pull out a conker on a lace and just whelp it off the fella in front of the back of the stage. Fucking broken. Oh, you fucking cunt! Like a teacher whip around it. Wait, what the fuck is going on? We used to play a game as well. It was like, it was basically baseball, but with a rubber, like an eraser, not a rubber Johnny, like, but an eraser. This is like third, fourth class, and a ruler. But you know, like back in them days as well, they were proper wood, like wooden, real proper wooden rulers, like a slap in the air. Like we're talking about red arse earlier in school, like or in work at school, do you mean? Like these yokes, if
what,
you got
to eat late work.
How do you think we warm up for squash?
I hope not.
But literally, like, everyone would have a ruler and a rubber because you were only writing with pencils back in the day. Someone would like fucking pick up the rubber and he's like kind of yelp a name, and that person then was the batsman. So you'd throw your rubber at them and they had to try and hit it.
Yeah.
And I got threatened to be suspended. I nearly got suspended, but I didn't end up getting suspended in because my man came up to school. Well, literally, like,
what, wrote the principal?
But basically what happened was someone threw the rubber and I caught it sweet on the money. So anyway, lads, you might have just like completely gone from one part of a conversation to another, but I had to take a phone call as we were recording. I was basically telling the story, fella threw the razor at me, right? But I basically caught the yoke on the money and hit the back of the teacher's head and landed on his desk. He turned around and I was like, I was like just after a lovely follow through. I was proper Phil Mickelson, like, in the fucking sitting in the chair. So there was only one person who did it, like, and they all haul out to the principal's office. And after that, we were all sitting. Do you know, the desks are facing the teacher's desk and the blackboard, like, right, that wall. So after that, the next day I came into school. The chairs and tables were rearranged. That one table was down the back in the corner facing the side out the window. That was my table for the rest of the year.
And did it change it at all, no? For the rest of the year?
I think it was at that for like a couple of months anyway.
I remember being like thrown out of the class. Like, it was very funny. Like,
it was like the best thing that could happen to you.
You're proud enough, like.
Yeah.
Strutting out, like.
Yeah. Remember,
unless you thought you were in real trouble, like, you know.
You never were in real trouble if you only got thrown outside the class. Like, it was straight down to fucking Mr. or whoever, or his office or whatever, you know, deputy principal or something like that.
I got sent to the principal's office a good few times, but I only cried once. And I was in about first or second class and I got sent to the principal's office and I couldn't get through to my mum and dad, and I didn't mind them not getting through to my mum and dad, but my grandmother lived like around the corner from the school. And all my uncles had gone to the same school, so he had my grandmother's number, the house phone at the time, you know. And he was like, "Should we just have to call your grandmother?" I started bawling. Like, it's like,
oh no!
The
so
last
thing, about the
just don't tell me, Nan, that I'm a bollocks.
Absolutely. Can be nothing worse than your grandmother thinking you're like a bollocks at school.
Yeah, but it's funny actually, generationally. So we bought PlayStation 1s with our community money. You bought a PlayStation 2,
PSP.
Even worse again. You buy the stickers that were fucked.
A few pogs as well, maybe.
Oh, very good. Listen, lads, thanks a million for tuning in this week. You know the story. If you can support us, give us the price of a cup of coffee or a pint or something in and around that. You can go on Patreon and have a look at the tiers there. And
don't try and cheap out now, because like, I'm on dry January. Like,
yeah.
Price of a water.
Yeah.
Lads, we just discussed the price of non-alcoholic beer. Like, it's not that much cheaper, so fuck up. No, if you like what we're doing and you want to support us, feel free to throw a few pounds our way. And you know what? Fucking go onto the Facebook, go on the Instagram. We got a heap of Twitter followers yesterday as well, so the Twitter numbers went up quite well. So give us a shout on the old social medias. Love engaging with you, and thanks for tuning in this week. Lance Pat Moore from Listener's Own.
Goodbye.
Tommy.
Good luck.
Oh, Ollie. Congratulations, Lance.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.